You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
This is Jordan Comstock, and you're watching the Best Practices Show.
Hey guys, thanks for watching the Best Practice Show. We take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over. And if you're looking at growing a fee-for-service practice and getting away from PPOs, you don't want to miss this show, because we're going to be talking about how to create an in-house membership program with one of the premier experts in all of dentistry, Jordan Comstock. And you're going to love this. So grab a pen and hit the share button. But before we get started, we are shooting this live on Facebook. So as you have questions, and I know a lot of you do on this particular topic, which is one of the hottest topics in all of dentistry, please add them to the feed and you'll see I'll ask Jordan directly while we have him on the show, because we want you to get the most out of the show. Continue to add questions even after we do the live feed, because again, we want to get you the most information and make this super, super valuable. Now, my guest today, Jordan, I've had you on before, and I just enjoy hanging out with you. Like, you're fun. And I know you're crazy passionate about helping dentists, you know, keep their autonomy and control their own destiny in dentistry. And you've got an incredible podcast, which I'm just going to say, if you haven't been there, you got to check it out, which is Say No to PPOs. And you're just passionate about this. Now, before we get into how to do this and some mistakes not to make, can you just tell your story? Because I love your story.
Yeah, totally. So I've been in the dental industry for over 10 years. And I started out as a lab technician, like you, Kirk, right?
Well, I wasn't. You worked
for a lab.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So I started out as an actual tech, and then I ended up heading out the sales and marketing departments for the dental lab. So that's how I got started in the dental industry. And my whole life, really, my parents have been in the dental industry, from my grandpa and my mom and dad as well, right? And growing up, my mom she's an office manager still to this day, and she would always vent about dental insurance and how challenging it was to navigate through and to just deal with it in the industry. And then when I joined the lab, all of our clients would vent and talk to us about, oh, dental insurance, that, this, whatever. It's hard. It's annoying. We're sick of getting, denying our claims and all that fun stuff that they have to deal with dental insurance. And one day I was just out talking to our clients in the market, and I got done reading a book called The Automatic Customer, which I always recommend everyone to read. Right, it's one of my favorite books. It's the book that inspired me to just be an entrepreneur, and then create a system for the dental industry. But I walked into one of our clients' offices, and they had a membership program, and it was the very first time being in the industry as long as I have that I've seen it, and it seemed like it was working really well for them. And of course, I I got really curious and I started asking them questions, and I came to my mind that they needed a system better to manage it, right? Because they were using like Google Docs and stuff like that. So I while I was working in the lab, I studied digital marketing and web development, so or UX design, right? Which is similar, all that stuff. And that night I got home and I designed BoomCloud, which helps practices administer membership programs without, you know, the help of insurance or other third-party payers, right? So that's kind of my story, and I'm really passionate about what I do, and we love helping you know, our users that use our software, and just being a resource in the industry. I love educating practices about this business model. So
yeah,
that's my story.
It's such a great business model, and I'm a big fan of it. All the clients or everybody I speak to, I always ask people in the audiences, like, how many people are doing this? And there's always hands that go up, and I always go, sweet, what do you think? And they go, I love it. It's easy. And so if you're watching this and you don't know what an in-house membership program is, can you just tell us briefly what it is for those that might not know?
Yeah, for those that might not know, a membership program is basically like Amazon Prime or Costco membership, but built for your dental practice. Your patients will pay a monthly or yearly fee to get access to certain benefits and discounts to your practice and your practice only, which is another cool thing, right? Because PPOs, you got a whole network of dentists that you're competing with. When you have your own membership program, it's strictly your practice and the patient. It's a loyalty program, right? Just like Amazon Prime or Costco membership, but built for the practice.
Yeah, and it's awesome. And we're going to talk about some of those details in here. But you also are very aware of the statistics regarding memberships. When people are members of something, they often spend more. That's why it's not a mistake that you got Amazon, you've got Costco, you got your local country club, you got Netflix. I mean, it's even hard to find a business model that doesn't have a membership anymore, right?
Totally. And on that, I just bought, I like having a clean car, right?
Right.
So just down the street from our office here, you like having a clean car too?
No. That just hit me. I'm like, oh my gosh, all of them are selling memberships.
Oh, totally, man. It is. We're definitely in the subscription economy, is what they call this economy, and or the Netflix economy, right? And basically, yeah. A couple months ago, I bought a subscription to a car wash just down the street. I pay $30 a month. I can have unlimited, you know, cleanings of my car. And I've noticed that I've spent money, which I've never spent money on, like detailing a car. I've spent money with those guys because I get a discount being a member to their membership club, right? And I've just spent more money with them. And I go and get my car washed down. I order stuff from them more because of those discounts and the member benefits, right? Same thing goes with Amazon, right? I'm always buying stuff off Amazon because I am a member. I am invested into Amazon because I pay them every year, and then every time I go to any store, really, now, like this last weekend, I was at Home Depot. I couldn't find what I wanted, so I just hopped on my Amazon Prime app, my Amazon app, and I bought it because they made it so convenient, and I'm a member, so I get those member discounts and benefits, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. And I think we said this last time you were on. I mean, can you imagine a country club just charging you every time you played golf or every time you came? Because they couldn't survive. You know, they just couldn't.
Yeah. I think I lost you for a little bit.
I lost you there for just a second. So
yeah, Jordan, you're good.
So if you're watching this, Jordan's telling us like he's in an amazing building, but they only have Wi-Fi there. I'm like, what kind of building is that?
So it's not my building.
So we're gonna get you in a Wi-Fi or a hardline membership program. So
membership.
Now today we're gonna be talking about the six mistakes to avoid when you're creating a membership program. And you wrote a great article on this, and I love it. But you know, you could obviously do a lot of things right, but these are things that you don't want to do when you're creating one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of things that you can do to be successful, but I think it's just as important to understand what people do to not make it successful, so they know, right? So that's why I wrote this article about this topic. And basically, the first thing that I would say that we see here at BoomCloud is practices don't they failed to install or implement a system, right? Obviously, a system doesn't have to be software. It can just be a process, right? Where they it's just really disorganized, right? And in my opinion, I like this story. It's called The Parable of the Pipeline. I don't know if you've heard that story or read that book.
No. Tell us.
And basically, it's a short story. I can't remember the author, but it talks about the importance of systems, right? And it tells it's a short parable that tells a story of two men in ancient times that were in that lived in a village. The village needed water, and there was a lake nearby, and the village hired these two men to go and collect water with buckets, right? They're like, okay, here's buckets, collect the water. We'll pay you every time you deliver water to the well in our village. So the men went, you know, back and forth each day, filling up the buckets and then bringing back to the well, right? And, you know, during that time, as you can imagine, carrying buckets back and forth, it's really tedious. It's really inefficient. One of the men got really sick and he got sick and tired of, you know, carrying buckets back and forth every day. So one day he had an idea where he's like, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way to deliver water from that lake there to our village well and for me to get paid to do it, right? So he developed a pipeline, right, where he spent, you know, his time building a pipeline from the lake all the way to the village well. And then all of a sudden he started getting paid on delivery, which when you build a pipeline, it's a very efficient system, right? And it delivers that water 24/7. So to me, we can learn two things from that story, right? The importance of building efficient systems in a practice, right? And then the importance of generating predictable recurring revenue, right? So when he built that pipeline, right, that revenue would come through and it would be predictable for him, right? So that's what we can learn by installing predictable good systems, right? Are you still able to hear me? Is it still
bad? Yeah, your picture froze up.
No, my picture froze.
But I can hear you perfectly. I don't know if you can refresh your picture or not.
Yeah, I just noticed my picture. Okay. Yeah, let me.
Please stand by for technical.
Please stand by. At least I'm not doing like a weird face, right?
No. Maybe unplug your camera, plug it back in, see if that works.
Yeah, let's see. Let me see how I can do that. Okay, that's easier. There you go. Sorry, guys.
Oh, don't sweat it. If that happens again, I'll just say turn it off and turn it on again. But yeah, having a system is critically important, and really just kind of getting everybody acclimated on this, because when you create a system, it's less brain power, it's predictable, it's scalable, everybody gets it instead of selectively, you know? Yeah. So, and it's the only way to do anything in business, I think.
Yeah, systems are extremely important in any business, but that's what we see. We'll see practices that will just kind of wing it, throw it together. They're maybe using it like a paper system, which is okay, but it's like carrying buckets. It's not the pipeline system where we want it to be efficient, right? And that's the first mistake I see practices do. It's not really clear on the processes in managing a program like this, right? So the second thing I see all the time is practices need to automate payments. This is a very powerful system, if you will, that allows you to have a hands-off, you know, type of management. A lot of practices that we've seen, especially in the early days when I started building our system, a lot of practices will go, they'll have a paper system and then like a binder, and they'll flip through the binder and then they'll read all of the patients that are active, and then I go, okay, I gotta call this patient today, and I gotta run their card or charge their card, and then they call them, and then it's just so tedious. Especially if you really want this program to be successful and scalable for your practice, you want to be able to automate certain tasks, and payments are tasks that you need to automate, right? With that, I'll say number three is automate the patient renewals as well. So we got automating the payments. So let's say I join your membership program and it's $30 a month. Make sure those payments each month are automated, right? Or if it's $300 a year, make sure it auto renews every year. Think like Amazon, right? Think like Amazon and what they're doing. Amazon never calls me up and says, "Hey Jordan, do you want to, we're just reading your account here and, we're wondering if we can charge your car today. Amazon doesn't do that, right? They have a system. But the issue is practices do that all the time. And I say it's a very, very – it's the bucket, right, versus the pipeline.
Absolutely. And you know how this is. If you're answering the phone and a dental officer or even taking payment – it's incredibly difficult to get patients on the phone at times. And the other thing that you notice in currency transactions like this, you have expiration dates that happen in credit cards. And so you guys have a recovery system in which it doesn't require human hands to be able to do that. So whether you do it once a year on paper, which is, you know, there's challenges with that, but people do that. And then if you're going to do it monthly, you need some type of a system that it just does it automatically, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And obviously any practice can go create a membership program and use like a paper system and charge a patient once a year. That works, right? The downside of that is what we see is that if you're manually charging like once a year, sometimes there could be also a time lapse, right? The patient doesn't come in exactly every 6 months a lot of the times. So there could be a time lapse where that revenue is not very predictable. And in my opinion, in my philosophy in business, you want to have a predictable stream of revenue, hence automating yearly or monthly payments and then yearly renewals, right? With basically that's the contract agreement, right? With the patient and the practice, make sure they automate and say, hey, after you sign up for this first year, you know, you'll have 30 days to cancel. But after that, it'll just auto sign you up again for our membership program. I think that's a wonderful strategy to do for, you know, for the yearly plans.
Absolutely. And just think like this, if you get good at this, Jordan, you, I'm sure you would agree, you're going to sell a lot of these. And so there will be many cases. I talk to dentists all the time. Some of them have 300 or 400 or 500, 600 patients on this every single month at $30 a month. I mean, you could do the math on that, and that's only the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the benefits to both parties involved. But you're also talking about a lot of transactions that happen on a regular basis. Now, also too, I can't remember, you and I were talking about ACH versus credit card, and you have a very strong opinion about that.
Yeah, I think they're both great. ACH, in my opinion, is way better because you're not dealing with the expiration dates, right? And that's another problem, right? If you don't think about, oh, you just collect the payments or the payment details on the credit card. Right. I think it's a great system. It works. But even better is using ACH. So direct withdrawals from the patient's bank account, because you're not dealing with the expiration dates. It's less headache. It's a little bit more of a headache to set up a patient, but in the long term, it's a lot better to set patients up on an ACH payment plan, whether it's monthly or yearly.
And you're not paying the credit card fees, right?
Yeah, it's actually cheaper because it's like under 1% for like the transaction fees. It's way cheaper, right? So yeah, that's what I would recommend. And ACH is awesome. And we're actually looking to potentially doing another system where our merchant account that we're partnered with is actually partnered with a lot of the big banks across the nation, where if they do collect a credit card or debit card number, the banks are partnered with our merchant in a way where if that card expires, it automatically will update in the system once we implement something like that. So it will have the same effect as ACH, but honestly, ACH is better because it's cheaper on a transaction standpoint, and it's...
Hey, I lost you there for a second, Jordan. Okay, go ahead and say that again.
And good. Oh, you lost me?
Yeah, just for a second. You
stupid
said it's cheaper, and then it also, what'd you say?
It's cheaper, and it's just more efficient to manage because you're not dealing with expiration dates.
Love it.
Right? And a good example is that is I have a couple of gym memberships. One of them I barely go to. Both gym memberships take ACH payments from me. Uh-huh. One of them is like $30 a month. I haven't canceled it for like 9 years because I'm too lazy.
You can't.
And it's a lot harder to cancel, right? So so I've been paying $30 a month for 9 years to this gym, and it's because ACH, and it's one of those fees, the $30 range. It's just one of those, I call them the under the radar payments, right? Where it's just like, it's $30, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's why ACH is really good too, because it just makes it harder to cancel.
Yeah, and you know how we all think about under the radar payments. I do this probably once a year. I'll just cancel a card just because it cleans out all those payments.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
All these people are like, I'm like, I don't even remember paying for that type of a thing. Now, yeah. When you mentioned number three, I got to ask you about this because when we're talking about renewals, if you're watching this as a dentist, I don't care if you're young or if you're mature, one of the things that drives valuation in your practice is real patients and creating a program in which you're using the same thing that dental insurance uses to get their patients in, which is two visits a year type of a thing. You're driving patients in renewals to drive valuation because these are real patients that'll be re-upping. And your software, you're a big fan of having a software and your software doing it, but are there any legal stipulations on renewals in a membership program? I get this question all the time, and I don't know. Like I would ask you.
Yeah, I don't think there are legal like requirements. I'm assuming it would vary from state to state if there are. I would say just off the top of my head, you know, if the patient wants to cancel, you got to give them like 30 days in lots of states. It's pretty right. a common law. You know, and I would say, yeah, I just don't know too much of that. I haven't seen too many laws that say you can't, you know, you can't have auto renewals, but it's just contract law.
Right.
Right. So what I recommend is obviously I'm not an attorney and I can't give like legal advice, but if that is a question for any of the practices out there, talk to a contract law attorney. They're pretty cheap to, hire to, you know, review contracts and agreements and ask them if you can create an auto renewal in your, like a clause in your agreement, and your contract law attorney will be able to give you, you know, those exact details for your exact state.
Love it. Love it. What's mistake number four that you often see in membership?
Yeah. So I see people charging too much or too little for their membership fees, right? Mm-hmm. When you charge too little, obviously you're not going to make any money. I like to see practices making a profit with their membership fee, right? You shouldn't break even on a membership fee. You should make a profit. That's just how I do business. I like seeing profits with everything I do. Even if it's like a membership fee, right? You're obviously going to make profits when you start doing crowns and everything on top of that. But make a profit off your membership fee. Don't charge too little. I see that all the time. It'll end up your program will not do well. You want to make a profit, and then charging too much on the opposite side, it's just going to scare patients away. So you won't grow. You won't make a profit anyways, right?
Right.
So I see practices sometimes they get a little too greedy and they want to charge like $600 a year, $700 a year for a membership program. And I just think that's out of the price range of the market of what a patient is willing to pay. Now, prices vary from state to state and market to market, but yeah, just don't charge too high because you're not going to get members signing up. You know, you want to be at the happy medium where you're going to get a good amount of volume of patients signing up and you're going to make some profit with those membership fees.
Right. And let's talk about the sweet spot. I know you can't really say exactly.
Yeah.
It varies from practice, but what's the sweet spot that you see that might be somewhere in the middle of too much or too little or ideal?
Yeah, we're seeing here at BoomCloud, we're seeing about like $300 to $400 a year for one patient,
okay.
Right? And then on a monthly standpoint, we see anywhere from $20 a month all the way up to $35, $40 a month for a monthly fee.
Okay. And yeah. You know, a lot of times people will say to them, they'll say to you as a provider, gosh, that's less expensive than I pay for dental insurance as a whole, which is another incredible opportunity in that whole space. Now, I think I asked you this last time, but I get this question again. Additional family members, typically, what do you see? Do you give a little bit of a price break on that?
Yeah, what we like to see when we help practices review or even set up their plans, we recommend doing like either additional family members or like a child plan. So it's $300 a year for an adult and $250, again, I'm throwing that number out, $250 a year for a child, right? Or for an additional patient. That's how I would recommend setting up a program. A lot of practices will go and they'll try to, they create like tons of different tiers, like three or four tiers. And I think that's a little too much. I think it needs to have two price points,
okay.
Right? So that's my opinion. Mm-hmm. And kind of what we've seen here when we work with a practice, I mean, we see what's successful with this strategy for practices. We see the practices when they have like a multi-tiered program, meaning first patient is $300, second it's $275, third and fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, it goes down each member, right? I think that's a little too complicated. It works, but I feel like the best pricing strategy is to have like a $300 first person membership fee, and then the $250 additional member fee is kind of what works really well with what we've seen.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it. Love it. What's mistake number five that you typically see?
I would say this is probably one of the biggest mistakes. It's failing to promote or market their membership program. I've talked to practices that have had a membership program for years, longer than I've been alive. And they've had it for years. And they've just never told anybody about it. In fact, one of my team members the other day went to the dentist because he had to get some work done on his teeth. And he asked him, hey, what are you up to these days? And he's like, oh, I work for Boom Cloud, and this is what we do in the dental industry. And he's like, oh, I have one of those. And he's like, really? I've been going to your practice for years, and you've never told me about it. And this is a guy who's never had – my employee who's never had dental insurance, right? So failing to just talk about it, communicate, right? That's all marketing is. It's education and communication, right? Use direct mail. Use Facebook. Use just – word of mouth, talking to patients as they come into the practice. That's probably one of the biggest things we see that stop a practice from being successful is just not talking about it.
Right. Right.
It sounds simple, but it's so true.
It is so true. And I see it all the time, buddy. Like people get excited about this. And then what usually happens is they try to adopt this and they come back and explain it to their team. And then there's always some type of like violent resistance to this. Like team members are like, you're always talking about not being on insurance. And now you want to provide insurance to your patients. And you're like, no, it's not insurance. It's a membership program. And the team members can't get their brain around it because dentists aren't often the best communicators. So that's one of the pitfalls that you're going to have once you start this. You do need the help of some experts to describe how this is beneficial. But I will tell you this, and you see this all the time, Jordan. Once your team gets their arms around this, they sell it like hotcakes all day long.
They do.
And they're able to promote it and market it. So whenever I run into a dentist that says, yeah, we tried it, it didn't work, I'm like, no, you tried it and you didn't work because it works everywhere. You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's definitely all about the team. And that really goes for any business. It's all about the team, right? The team is an important aspect of any business. And I think that's just the problem. The team just fails to talk about it and market it and educate, right? That's, in my opinion, education is the best form of marketing. And I think that's what practices need to do more of, is educate their patients and potential patients about whether it's a membership program or crowns or bridges, whatever they're selling, right? I think they need to educate more.
Yeah, and I'm going to misquote Roy, but we just had Roy Shelburne on, and he was great. He said,
oh, cool.
He was raving about this particular component of dentistry, and he said that if you look at the United States, there are more uninsured people than there are insured people in dentistry. And keep in mind that the number one reason that people go to the dentist is they perceive some type of a benefit. So within those two statistics, you're seeing, I mean, you're talking about unlimited potential with that. You now have the ability to give the marketplace what they don't have and, you know, connect with patients and provide them something that most people don't have. You know,
yeah, so. Absolutely. And that's like the largest benefit, right? Is just giving the marketplace something that they need and want. And that's business, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Any other things on marketing? Like, is there things you can, because most people put this on their website, they say something like no insurance, no problem. I've seen that a lot. What are some other ways that you see people to market?
So that phrase is actually trademarked. So
it is.
Yeah, be careful with that one. I would say, when you on your marketing materials, you don't want to call it insurance, right? That's one of the biggest things that practices need to understand. And the practices that have maybe gotten in trouble. I don't know any that personally that I know. They called it like Dr. Smith's insurance program, and they marketed it that way, right? And you, it's not an insurance product. It's not a risk-bearing model, so it doesn't qualify as an insurance product. So don't call it insurance, or you'll be subject to insurance regulation, which right. Is hairy, right? So that's another tip in regards to marketing. But yeah, there's so many ways you can market. There's so many channels these days to market, from online to offline channels, right? And when I say offline, it's just analog, right? Like direct mail and things like that. And all the strategies work. Just know that marketing is an experimentation. You've got to experiment, all these channels and figure out what works for your practice and your messaging and tweak it and optimize it, right? Just because I say direct mail marketing works, don't go out there and spend, $10,000 on direct mail. Maybe spend a little less and test it and analyze the results, or have a firm or an agency help you with that. But marketing is an experiment. And once you figure out, what works, then you pull the trigger, you spend more money, and you double down on your marketing. There's definitely a bunch of marketing strategies out there that a practice can do to get the word out about their program.
Yeah, and something as simple as just creating a one-page brochure, or something simple that you can send to each one of your patients in a new patient packet.
And we actually help with that when a practice uses our software. We help them with a brochure and like posters and things like that. That just simple stuff that's necessary.
Yeah, and I think I told you the story. I was speaking at Star in the North, and I go, "Does anyone know this Jordan guy?" And one lady's like, "I work with him." I go, "Yeah." She's like, "He was great. He helped me set it all up." So that's why we have you on here, because you're helping me understand all the ins and outs of this. Because there are a lot of mistakes that are made in this. What's mistake number six that is a huge no-no? And you and I talked about this.
Yeah. So number six is sending people away if they don't have dental insurance, right? As stupid as that sounds, it happens more than you know. Maybe an office staff member is not educated, or they're new to the industry, and say, "Oh, we don't have dental insurance. You don't have dental insurance. Well, we can't help you." You don't want that. This a membership program is built for the uninsured. Don't send people away. And if you are sending people away, set up a membership program so you can attract those people. Right. That is something that happens all the time. Or even if a patient has dental insurance, I think it's important to educate them on this alternative or option, right? Because you never know if that patient is unhappy with their plan, right? Or maybe they're changing jobs and their dental plan is going to go away, so they're stressing or wondering, of another alternative or a solution. Talk to everybody about it, and don't send patients away if they don't have dental insurance. That's what I see out there.
Absolutely. Always, you don't want to tell them what you don't have. You tell them what you do have and can do in a lot of cases. Now, I'm sure you and I were talking, there's a lot of other mistakes. One of them is the digital information thing. Like, I see a lot of people putting these in Google accounts, or you can't do that anymore, right?
No, like, you actually cannot store financial data on a piece of paper and put it in a filing cabinet. That is against PCI compliance, right? Or Google Docs, same thing, right? If I had a Google Doc, in my Gmail account, and if I was storing people's financial data in there, that is against the law, and there's some heavy fines with that. So I say that's a no-no. Or you've even seen practices that write, the sticky notes of a patient's card number and stick it on, and they have a note. I've seen this countless times. They have a note in the office: charge this patient on the 5th of each month, or whatever it is, right? You can't even have that. So it's important to understand that when you have financial information, it's got to be in a secure environment, and Google Docs and pieces of paper aren't secure.
Among many things. But these are some of the pitfalls to avoid. Jordan, just give us a little projection as far as the future goes. This membership program thing is not going away. Do you agree?
I agree 100%, because we're seeing it every day grow faster and faster, right? With the practice we're helping with, but also just in the industry. I remember back in the day when I first had the idea to create the software and to even when I was just talking to practice about the concept, nobody was talking about it online. Nobody was talking like on the forums, like Dentaltown and things like that. Nobody, like, there was a very small amount of people talking about it. Now there, I'm seeing more and more practices talking about it. And then we've got like the direct primary care laws coming out, or the DPCs for short, what they call them, coming out, you know, allowing practices to create these types of membership programs and avoid any type of insurance regulation. That's growing. Over half the United States have some pretty clear defined laws that allow practitioners, whether they're dental or medical, to do things like that. And that's continuing to grow because a few years ago, a lot of those laws weren't around. And I think it's becoming clearly defined. In fact, I read an article a few weeks ago, where I think it was like Michigan State or whatever. The governor was talking about these membership programs for practices and saying how amazing they are for the economy and for patients that don't have dental insurance, and that this needs to be a solution in every state. So you're starting to see government, you know, officials talking about the concept of this in healthcare, and I think it's just going to continue to rise and continue to grow in industries, from dentistry to even the vet and optometry. We're seeing all sorts of things in those markets as well, growing and becoming more of a trend and a good business model for these practices.
Yeah, I completely agree with what you said. This is going to continue to grow, and insurance is going to continue to tighten up and lessen reimbursement for dentists all the time. So you can see the opportunity that lies between these two as a dentist, and especially if you're looking at a decade or two of practice in front of you. So it's amazing, buddy. So good stuff.
There's also insurance companies that are trying to get in the game as well of membership programs. I've been following a few, and
really, like, tell us more. I'm curious about this. Where are you seeing this?
I mean, we obviously know everyone in this space, right, in our space, that's entering and exiting. And we've noticed that there's one particular insurance company, I won't say their name or anything, they've started to get in this space. They actually take 50% of the practice's membership fees, and then they take a portion of they just take, it's a revenue share, right? And I'm not too big on revenue share, because as you grow a membership program, if a practice is paying, let's just say, $10 a month per member to a separate company to help them manage it, that fee may sound small initially, but when you get 1,000 members or so, which is completely realistic, it's gonna add up. We've had some clients that use BoomCloud that have well over 1,000 patients sign up their program, where we say, oh, look, if you were to sign up with this provider or this software solution that's owned by an insurance company or non-insurance companies, there's obviously those guys entering the market, you're going to pay, you know, $6,000 a month once you hit, you know, X amount of patients. And that to me is too much, and it's the wrong business model, in my opinion, for practices to invest their money in a system, right? Software, in my opinion, should be a fixed flat fee that's predictable as well, right, for the practice. It shouldn't be a variable or increase as the practice gets more successful with a program. So that's kind of what we're seeing on that end in the industry. So I would be aware, because you can pay a lot of money out to these other, like, software or even insurance providers that are getting into the membership space, and it'll eat you alive, right? It'll eat your profits. So I would, that's my tip there.
Yeah, that's awesome, buddy. Well, you've got a lot of incredible information behind this in you know, big trend that's actually been around for a while, but now
it's been around for a while.
Now it's really starting to catch, you know, and picking up speed. And I'm so grateful to have you on here. And we're going to have you back and discuss a whole bunch of other components on this. Now, Jordan, if people are listening to this on iTunes, I know they're going to want to know more information about you. Can you guide them to your podcast, and then how to find out more information about, you know, BoomCloud and how it all works? And then also, you wrote some incredible papers, some white papers and some things. Take us there.
Yeah. So podcast is saynotopopos.com. Go there. We've got all sorts of people talking about, you know, the strategies of reducing dependence on PPOs and membership program tips as well. And then we've got my ebook is free. Anyone can download it. You can get it at boomcloudapps.com/book. We got a ton of other resources from articles that I've written and my team members have written on our website too. Webinars that we've done with like Gary Takis, Dr. Christopher Phelps, who wrote a book about how to grow your membership program. I'm sure he's been on your show.
Love it.
Dr. Phelps is a good friend of mine. We're always doing things together and trying to help each other. So we've got tons of resources. And if you want, we've even got a dumb little game on our website that you can play if you're really bored at the office.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Go to the website, check it out. And then anyone can email me if you guys have questions about membership programs. And my email address is Jordan, J-O-R-D-O-N, at boomcloudapps.com. I'm more than happy to answer any questions anyone has about this topic.
Awesome. Well, I'm so grateful, buddy. So thank you so much. If you're thinking about it, don't think about it. Just do it and create a membership program. And then if you're going to do monthly payments, make sure you have a software, and BoomCloud's awesome. So Jordan, thank you so much for being on. And stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for watching. I really appreciate it. If you enjoyed today, just do us a favor. Just hit the share button, share with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions that you want to see for shows with Jordan, and then other guests that you might want to see. Those keep coming in. Really, really appreciate that. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day.